Okay, I want us just for a few moments just to think about this parable from the Bible. So the parable of the sower also includes seeds and soils. So if we can just go through the things. So that same day, Jesus had been doing ministry in various places, and Matthew 13 reads that on that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and such a large crowd gathered round him that he got into a boat, sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other soil seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Some other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Well, the reason for that was that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were kept picking on Jesus and his disciples. That just before this, in the end of chapter 12, Jesus had been disciples walking through a cornfield, plucked an ear of corn and started munching it because they were hungry. And as he said, "Oh, well, that's terrible. You're harvesting the crops." Then Jesus had... Earlier that Sunday, that Saturday, Sabbath day, had healed somebody, had a damaged arm. Maybe he'd had a stroke or something. His arm didn't work anymore. Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees, instead of saying, "Well, that's wonderful, thank God for that," they went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And the Bible says, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, but he warned them not to tell people who he was. You see, it was becoming much more difficult for Jesus to conduct his ministry, and so he started telling people parables, using parables. So Jesus answered the disciples, "To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they don't see, and while hearing, they do not hear and do not understand." See, Jesus' ministry was becoming sort of more covert. Parables weren't done to sort of try and make it harder for people to understand, but to enable Jesus to carry on teaching. He could tell these tales, and the Pharisees thought, "Oh, well, he's just telling sort of simple stories," and they didn't bother him. Whereas, in fact, of course, there was a real spiritual meaning behind them, which Jesus wanted to get across to those who had ears to hear, who wanted to understand. But you know, Jesus is really kind. He was a good teacher. And so he didn't just start doing that, but he taught his disciples this first parable. He explained to his disciples what it meant, how to interpret it. And the second parable he taught in Matthew about the weeds, he explained that as well. And then afterwards, he just told the parables and expected the disciples and others to understand, interpret themselves. So what does the parable mean? A parable is a story then with things have meanings, and the sower Well, he's the one who sows the seed. In this case, it was Jesus, but it could be your Sunday school teacher. It could be the person who stands here and preaches. It could be the Open the Book team as they go into school. The seed is the Word of God. Message from the Bible, the message of Jesus, the good news of salvation. And the soils, well, they're our part, our hearts. Hearts of boys and girls, men and women. And they represent how we respond to the Word of God. So Jesus explained, listen to then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, it's like the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is what the seed is like, the seed sown along the path. You know, in those days, they had a basket around their shoulders and they would throw out handfuls of seed. Jethro Tull didn't invent the seed drill until 1701, a few years before he invented the pop group. And this throwing seed out by hand was not accurate at all, and so some went over the edges and places where he didn't really want it to go. So the seed on the path, gobbled up by the birds. And that's like people hear the gospel. They hear the message from the Bible that we're all in a terrible state, actually. We all fallen short of the standard that God wants from us. And they hear the good news that Jesus has dealt with the problem. That we, if we confess our sins, if we repent and turn from our sins, follow him, then he will save us. And that's brilliant news. We can be right with God. We can have peace with God. But people go out and forget what's been said. Start thinking about something else immediately after the service ends. Or perhaps even during the service. Maybe even now you're thinking about, well, I'm going to do this tomorrow and I've got to do this. And on the lunch, is the preacher's going on, you know, lunch will be burned. And the devil comes and steals away the message. And that's like the seed being thrown down beside on the path. Well, what can we do about that? Well, it's really good that we attend chapel and we go to Sunday school if there is one, or hear the word of God explained. It's good that we read the Bible and... But we need to come and we need to ask God to prepare our hearts so that we don't come with hearts that are hard or like that path where the seed can't sink in. If we ask God to prepare our hearts, hearts will be soft. The word can sink in. And we need to just listen carefully. If we forget things, then perhaps we should take notes. Students do that in college. Maybe when we chat to each other after the service, try and include some comments about the message, what has gone on, so that it's not driven out of our minds totally. But then in the next verses, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they fall away quickly. You know, the plants spring up quickly because they put all their energy into growing upwards rather than downwards. And because there's not much moisture, the things shrivel up. You know, when Jonathan moved to his new house, the garden was full of rocks and stones, and they had to be dug out to make good soil for plants to grow. You know, we can sort of think of people who have perhaps come to chapel for a while and then gone away, perhaps been really enthusiastic for a while, and then other things have come, maybe ill health has come or difficulties in life, and they've forgotten about God and gone away from Him, and that's really sad. Sometimes if we have particular troubles, then that time, well, we would turn to God and say, please help me. There have been people in the Bible like that. And then when God helps them and things are all right, then they forget about God. What can we do? You see, persecution is likely to come. You know, things are changing in our country. The Christian heritage is beginning to be nibbled away at. And those poor Christians in Syria and Iraq, well, you know, facing death and persecution, it's terrible. We need to ask God to help us in difficult times, to remove the boulders, the stones out of our lives, the things that hinder, help us develop Christian roots. We need to read the Bible day by day. It was good that Harry said he spent time reading the Bible, and I know that he prays each day. Just a few verses, a few moments in prayer, get ourselves into that routine. But we need to meet with other Christians, and so we together can encourage one another, support one another during times of difficulty, and together we'll grow and develop. Then the next seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth, choke the word and make it unfruitful. Other things crowd in and crowd out the word. The house that Jonathan and Sarah live in now, the garden in parts was really overgrown. That's not theirs, but it was a picture that I found. But you know, the valuable plants are sort of submerged somewhere in the middle. Jesus spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. And you know, money can be really useful, can't it? It can open the doors. We can do so much more. And it can insulate us from some troubles and perhaps buy us some happiness. But, you know, money can't buy us, stop us aging or stop us getting ill. And really, it can't really buy us true happiness, because that's found in God. And it's deceitful in that way. The Bible encourages us to lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and where thieves can't break in and steal. But then Jesus also says about the worries of this life. You know, we can have family concerns, and it's really good to support our relatives, our families, but you know, we mustn't let that choke out and block out our time with God. Then, you know, we can have worries about our jobs or employment. How are we going to provide? We worry about our self-image, what we look like, you know, whether we need diets, or we worry about the things that we have. You know, we must have the latest phone or the latest car or whatever. The worries about health and illness. And perhaps some people try to stave that off with going for fitness and hobbies and interests. But you know, the whole thing is that these priorities must never take priority over God. We have to put God first in our lives. Colossians tells us to let the word of God dwell in you richly, so that it grows and bears fruit. You know, the word of God won't prevent ill things, bad things happening to us, but it will give us a right perspective. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs tells us. We sometimes sing the song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Hallelujah. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. And this is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So the seed fallen into prepared soil, that makes for good roots and good growth. Christian faith, you know, like that will help us understand life and achieve real fulfillment in life. It will help us develop ourselves to our full potential, but it will help us serve others or in our communities well. You know, there's a whole history of Christian men and women of faith who have served and developed the community and skills that are used by mankind. You know, we will please God, we will know his blessing, and we will have a certain hope of eternity. The big question is, of course, which type of soil are we? What type of soil have we been? What type of soil are we going to be? Because the thing is, we can change. We can change from going where the seed is snatched away to from someone who perhaps has only temporarily thought of Christian things, or someone whose life has become so full and really God has got squeezed out, to be persons who really have hope and faith in God, who have that real relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The thing is, you see, we can't all guarantee that we're going to live as long as Harry. We need to get on with it. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't put off. Don't let things crowd in. Today, if you hear his voice, come to Jesus. Confess your sin. Repent and be converted. Settle for an ongoing relationship with him, with deep roots in the Bible, in the faith, and you'll bear much fruit. Amen. We have another hymn to finish with, and this is "Come Ye Thankful People Come." We're going to stand and sing. Let's stand and sing.